Chapter 14. The Christmas Party. A group of men were standing outside Boldwood's front door. Most of them worked for Boldwood, except for Bathsheba's man, Billy Smallbury.
"A boy said he saw Troy this afternoon in Casterbridge," one man whispered to the others. "Do you think Mrs. Troy knows about it?" said another man.
Boldwood came out of the front door and walked down the path to the gate. It was dark, and he passed the men without seeing them. They heard him talking to himself.
"I hope she'll come tonight," he was saying. "Oh, my love, why do you make me wait so long?"
Just then, a carriage was heard coming along the road. Boldwood ran back and opened the front door. In the light from the house, the men saw Bathsheba coming up the path from the carriage. Boldwood took her inside.
"I don't feel like going to the party," said Billy Smallbury. "Let's go down to Warren's pub."
Billy and two other men went to Warren's, but when they looked through the window, they saw Troy inside.
"So, Troy has returned," said Billy. "We must tell Mr. Boldwood and Mrs. Troy."
They went back to Boldwood's house and entered the hall. A few young men and women had just started to dance. Bathsheba had decided to stay at the party for only a short time. She had already left the hall and gone into a small room to get her coat, but Boldwood followed her.
"Please don't leave," he said. "The party has just started. And I wanted to ask you about your promise. Will you marry me 5 or 6 years from now?"
Bathsheba looked silently down at the floor.
"All right," she said at last, "but only if my husband hasn't come back."
"I'm so happy," said Boldwood. "Please, take this."
He took the ring from his pocket and put it quickly on her finger. Bathsheba began to cry and tried to take her hand away.
"I can't wear a ring," she said. "I don't want anyone to know we're engaged."
"Please just wear it tonight," said Boldwood.
"All right," said Bathsheba. "But let me go home now."
Boldwood went out, and a few minutes later, Bathsheba followed him. As she passed the hall, she looked in. She was surprised because the music and dancing had stopped. Boldwood was standing in front of the fire near a group of men talking together. When they saw Bathsheba, one of them said,
"There's Mrs. Troy. Let's tell her now."
"Tell me what?"
asked Bathsheba. Just then, someone knocked at the front door. A servant went to answer it. Then he came back into the room.
"It's a stranger looking for Mrs. Troy," he said.
A few minutes later, Troy entered the room. He walked into the centre and took off his hat. Everyone stared at him in shock. Troy looked at Boldwood and began to laugh. Then he said,
"Bathsheba, I've come to take you home."
But Bathsheba did not move. Troy walked across the room and took her arm. He started pulling her hard towards him, and Bathsheba screamed in pain. Suddenly, there was a very loud noise, and the room became full of smoke. Troy fell to the ground and lay still. Boldwood was standing near the fireplace with a gun in his hand. He pointed it at himself, but a man knocked it from his hand. Boldwood went to Bathsheba and kissed her hand. Then he put on his hat, opened the front door, and went out into the dark night. Gabriel had heard the noise of the gun. He ran into the room and saw Bathsheba sitting on the floor, holding Troy's head gently in her hands.
"Ride to Casterbridge for a doctor, Gabriel," she said. "I think it is too late, but go. Mr. Boldwood has shot my husband."
Gabriel rode quickly into town. He found the doctor and told him what had happened. But when they came back to Boldwood's house, nobody was there.
"Mrs. Troy ordered the body to be taken to her house," said a man.
Gabriel and the doctor hurried to Bathsheba's house, where they met Liddy in the hall.
"She's taken him upstairs to her bedroom," she said.
They all hurried upstairs and knocked on Bathsheba's door. When she opened it, they saw Troy lying on the bed. Bathsheba had washed his body and dressed it in clean white clothes, ready to be buried. But when Gabriel and the doctor entered, she fell to the ground in shock. Boldwood walked through the dark, empty streets of Casterbridge to the prison. There was a bell over the door, and he rang it. A man came out, and Boldwood spoke to him, then entered the prison. After the door closed behind him, he never came out again. After Troy's death, Bathsheba was ill for many weeks, but by the spring she was beginning to feel better. However, she had changed a lot. She spent most of her time alone and did not talk much to anybody, even Liddy. One Friday evening in August, Bathsheba walked into Weatherbury. It was the first time she had gone into the village since Christmas. She heard children singing inside the church and went into the churchyard. She walked across the grass to Fanny's tombstone. Under the words about Fanny, new words had been cut into the stone. "Here also lies the body of Francis Troy." Just then, Gabriel came into the churchyard and stopped in surprise when he saw Bathsheba.
"I've not seen you for a long time," he said. "Are you going into the church?"
"No," said Bathsheba. "I just came to see the tombstone. I asked for some words about Mr. Troy to be added to it."
Then Gabriel said, "I want to tell you something. I'm thinking of leaving England and going to California."
"But why?" said Bathsheba. "Please don't go away."
As she walked home, she thought,
"Gabriel's helped me so much, but now he doesn't want to stay with me."
Several months passed, and then it was Christmas again, 1 year after Troy's death. One morning, Bathsheba got a letter from Gabriel saying he was leaving the farm. She felt very sad, so in the evening she decided to go down to his house and talk to him.
"I just wanted to say, I hope you're not leaving because of me," she said.
"No," said Gabriel, "but people are talking about us."
"Really?" said Bathsheba in surprise. "What are they saying?"
"They're saying that I'm planning to get poor Boldwood's farm and then marry you," said Gabriel.
"That's a very silly idea," said Bathsheba. "It's too soon."
"Yes, of course, it's very silly," said Gabriel.
"I just said it was too soon," said Bathsheba.
They were silent for a long time. Then Gabriel said gently, "Bathsheba, would you allow me to love you and marry you? I would love to know the answer to that question."
"Then why don't you ask me?"
said Bathsheba. Do you mean, if I ask you, you'll say yes? Said Gabriel.
Oh, Bathsheba, my dear love. I'm so happy that I came here tonight, said Bathsheba.
A few weeks later, Gabriel and Bathsheba got married. Bathsheba wanted their wedding to be as quiet as possible so that people would not stare at her. So the only people at the wedding were Parson Thirdly, Liddy and Jan Coggan. But later that day, as they were drinking tea quietly at Bathsheba's house, someone knocked at the door. When they opened it, they saw everyone from the village outside. As soon as they saw Gabriel and Bathsheba, the crowd started to cheer.
So, our wedding was not secret at all, said Gabriel, laughing. Please come in, friends, and have something to eat and drink with me and my wife.
As he said the words, my wife, he felt very proud. He had waited a long time for his beautiful Bathsheba, but at last they were starting a wonderful new life together. Penguin Readers. Far from the Madding Crowd. Thomas Hardy. Level 5. Retold by Anne Collins. Illustrated by Isabella Grott. Series editor Sorrel Pitts. Read by Nigel Pilkington. Copyright Penguin Books Limited 2020.